May God be with you.
And also with you.
The Holy Gospel of our Lord Jesus Christ according to John.
Glory to you, Lord Jesus Christ.
Jesus decided to go to Galilee. He found Philip and said to him, "Follow me." Now Philip was from Bethsaida, the city of Andrew and Peter. Philip found Nathanael and said to him, "We have found him about whom Moses in the law and also the prophets wrote, Jesus, son of Joseph, from Nazareth." Nathanael said to him, "Can anything good come out of Nazareth?" Philip said to him, "Come and see." When Jesus saw Nathanael coming toward him, he said of him, "Here is truly an Israelite in whom there is no deceit." Nathanael asked him, "Where did you get to know me?" Jesus answered, "I saw you under the fig tree before Philip called you." Nathanael replied, "Rabbi, you are the Son of God. You are the King of Israel." Jesus answered, "Do you believe because I told you that I saw you under the fig tree? You will see greater things than these." And he said to him, "Very truly I tell you, you will see heaven opened and the angels of God ascending and descending upon the Son of Man." This is the Gospel of Christ. Praise to you, Lord Jesus Christ. Beckoning God, in the stillness of the night, you called Samuel into your service. Call us into service with a voice we are able to hear. Give us hearts to respond to you when we are called. In your name we pray. Amen. Please be seated. A title for a sermon about this incident in the life of Samuel might be "The Dangers of Falling Asleep in Church." Now, I heard an old story. I'm not sure if it's true, but it was a story about a parishioner who kept falling asleep in church, and the pastor started to get annoyed. This was happening now every week. And so the priest decided to teach the parishioner a lesson. So on that Sunday morning, the priest began preaching in a monotone, as was his custom, until he was sure that the parishioner was full and deeply asleep. Then the pastor said to the congregation quietly, "Everyone who wants to go to heaven, stand up." And so the whole congregation stood up, except, of course, for the poor parishioner who's still deep asleep. So the pastor asked everybody to please sit down, and next he gently said, "Everyone who wants to go to hell," and then he banged the pulpit and shouted, "Stand up!" Well, the poor parishioner who was asleep stood up, and everybody around him tried not to laugh, and he looked around, he kind of surveyed the congregation, And he says, Pastor, I don't know what we're voting on, but it looks like you and me are the only ones for it. The call to stand was issued by the pastor who was having a bit of fun. And our readings this morning explore how we respond when a call is issued by God. Serious business. Last week on the Feast of Epiphany, you'll remember we celebrated the coming of the wise ones to see the Christ child. We give thanks for the light of a strange star which guided them along the way. An epiphany is defined as a moment during which we see things differently. We see things more clearly, perhaps for the first time in our lives. And that is a life-changing moment. We have relived the Christmas story and seen the life-changing moments of everybody that's involved in that story. And now it's our turn. Our readings this morning help us to think about our own epiphanies, to think about how we respond to God's call. In the Hebrew Bible reading this morning, Samuel hears someone calling his name. There being no one else inside the temple except his friend and mentor Eli, Samuel goes to see what's up. You called? He asks Eli. Well, Eli must have thought one of them was dreaming and sent Samuel back to bed. I can imagine the confusion and the annoyance that night as Samuel was awoken four times, who then in turn woke Eli four times. I don't know about you, but as I get older, I find I sleep less and less soundly. So maybe Eli was in that place too and probably didn't cotton on to being woken up so many times that night. After sending Samuel away three times, though, it finally dawns on Eli that perhaps something else is going on. Finally, Eli instructs Samuel how to answer if he hears the call again. Listen, he tells Samuel, listen with an open heart to what God will tell you and see what happens next. Now, there are commentators that have a lot to say about Eli and his lack of vision. Just like many details in the Bible, they can be taken on many different levels. So perhaps Eli can't see so well out of his eyes, but you can interpret what that also might be saying about Eli and his ministry. From the traditional priestly family, Eli is an old man now, and his sons, Hophni and Phinehas, are, let's just say, far from models of priestly behavior, and leave it at that. I guess we shouldn't be surprised then that the word of the Lord was rare in those days, that visions were not widespread. You might remember Eli as the priest who accused Hannah of being drunk when she was in the temple, praying, using body and mind, praying for a child. But for all his faults, Eli shares some hard-won wisdom in our reading this morning. He's tried his best with his sons. He really has. I imagine he doesn't know where he's gone wrong. And in the meantime, he's sharing everything he knows with Samuel. Samuel, meaning God hears, is the result of Hannah's heartfelt prayers. And Hannah's half of the bargain was to give him back to God in the temple. Though he will go on to be a well-respected prophet, leader, and kingmaker, Samuel didn't start out that way. He wasn't an insider. He wasn't part of the priestly family. He wasn't someone you'd imagine that God would talk to. And he was young. Tradition tells us he was about 12 years old. I can imagine that Samuel might not have been the best person to give a prophecy to. Think about your kids, grandkids, or great-grandkids. It wouldn't be every child that would tolerate a strange voice in the middle of the night, not to mention a very difficult message, a message that would unravel the very institution that Samuel knows. Speak, Lord, for your servant is listening, Samuel is instructed to answer. As he is learning, listening for God requires an openness and a sense of focus that can easily be crowded out by the noise of everyday life. One commentator shares her sympathy with Samuel, for Samuel. She writes that if she heard a voice in the night tomorrow, she'd be more likely to doubt her sanity. She'd be more likely to sign herself up for a yoga class, thinking maybe she needed to relax a little bit. She'd be more likely to cut her caffeine intake, thinking that maybe it was really affecting her, before she realized that perhaps she needed to sit and listen to what God had to say. This type of listening is a full body experience. We listen with our hearts and with our minds. We listen with our ears and even with our eyes. This is not work that is easily done within the distractions of our busy daily lives. In fact, very few of us are able to choke out the words that Samuel said, much less wait patiently for a response. In this call story, we see that God knows and sees the very best of Samuel. God sees who Samuel will become rather than who he is at that exact moment. And the same is true for me and for you, for us and for our neighbors. We too are invited to participate with God in unexpected and unimagined ways. Because God knows who we were created to be. God doesn't pay attention to who we are now. God sees us as our best selves. Lucky for us, defying expectations is one of God's defining characteristics. As we continue in our walk with God, we continue to learn what it is to listen and then to act. Notice that Samuel isn't just given the words and then he goes about his daily life. No, he's commanded to share that information with Eli. We too are encouraged to show that we are listening, to act on our own epiphanies by giving thanks, by sharing the good news, by speaking truth to power. This is important and life-changing work. First, we will need grace, writes author and artist Jan Richardson. Then we will need courage. Also, we will need some strength today. We will need these things and more because she says how God sees us is not the same as seeing ourselves. And being shown a whole and complete version of ourselves will take all the grace, all the courage, all the strength we can muster. Should we feel overwhelmed or underprepared, our story gives us reason to take heart. Samuel did not yet know the Lord, we're told. Yet God was able to include him in the great and unexpected work that was being done. The message of hope here is that God continues to call. God calls Samuel until he learns how to listen. There's no sense in the story of Samuel having missed the boat somehow, that God called once and didn't get a response, so God just moved on. No, God is persistent and constant in the calling. When you think about it, every situation we encounter offers a call. Every person we meet, every conversation that we're involved in is an invitation. So just in case you were to decide that this reading doesn't apply to you because you're not 12 years old and you're not in training to be a priest in the temple, I urge you to listen again. We are called to learn all we can. We're invited to remain open to whomever approaches us. We're offered the chance to be our best selves every moment of every day. And sometimes, if you're like me, that can feel a little bit scary. But thanks be to God that we get by with a little help from our friends. Samuel could not complete his conversation with God without Eli's help. Thank goodness for elders in the faith who share with us their wisdom and their experience. We need each other to better understand God's call. We need to hear others' call stories to better interpret our own call stories. We gather together as a church community for this reason, to tune in to the sounds, images, and feelings that we might be experiencing to help us better understand God and God's word to us. We are called, invited to listen for God. We're called to say yes and to act on that yes when we hear God calling. The good news is that God is patient and will continue to call until we finally get the message. The good news is this business of learning and receiving epiphanies is lifelong work. The good news is that God has all the time in the world. And so just as the word of God was precious in those days, so it is for us today. Responding to God's call to us again and again and again sets us on a journey of discovery and learning. And hopefully that process never ends. And so today or tomorrow or the next day when we hear God's call, may we have the courage and the strength to respond as Samuel did. Speak, Lord, or your servant is listening. Amen. Amen.